The Steve Cochran Show.
Dave Barry joins me. Good morning, buddy. Let's play a quick little word association. I'll say the candidate's name. Just the first thing that pops into your head.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders.
Really fun. Fun guy.
He's fun.
The media said, well, you know, Bernie is a nice guy. He combs his hair really well. Top-notch dresser. And
Hillary Clinton.
One, she genuinely wants to make your life better. Two, if you try to stop her, she will kill you.
Your fellow South Floridian, Donald Trump.
I got a really close look at his hair, and it is amazing. It's like a radioactive beaver dam.
How handsome am I, right?
Ted Cruz.
Doesn't sound strange when he talks.
You know, the amazing thing is that basketball ring here in Indiana, it's the same height as it is in New York City and every other place in this country.
It's a fabulous cornucopia of stupid. It's campaign 2016. A big announcement yesterday is Carly Fiorina and Ted Cruz are a couple, a hot political couple. Politics being what it is, she of course said he was radioactive and disgusting and a terrible person, and now they're best friends. You generally don't pick a running mate until you're the actual nominee. It's actually like asking someone to the prom when you're in sixth grade. You know, I mean, it's not quite time yet. But in this case, Cruz is just trying to get back in the news. Trump hates the idea. That's a shocker, of course, and Kasich's eating somewhere. So who knows what's happening. On the Democrat side, Bernie Sanders laid off a bunch of people yesterday in preparation for a push for the end. But don't expect him to campaign for Hillary anytime soon because he says he's going to campaign right through California to guarantee that every vote matters. Susan Sarandon has not spoken out on this yet, but we know she's not happy. The local news, which is sad and twisted and disgusting and all of those things, Dennis Hastert gets 15 months yesterday. If you keep in mind, this sentence was specific to cash structuring and that being a money laundering extension sort of charge and not related to child molestation or abuse. How did he go from 0 to 6 months to 15 months? Well, the judge had latitude and the judge went as far as he felt he could to at least make him pay some penalty for the child molestation, the abuse of these teenage boys that wrestled for him. Even though you couldn't specifically charge him with it because of the statute's limitation. You know, there's no doubt that Denny Hastert did a lot of good for not just Yorkville, but for the country when he was speaker and in many ways did wonderful things. Is all of it wiped out by this? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Because if you abuse children, you don't get to go, look how good I was in the other parts of my life. It's like Cosby. Cosby did a lot of good things. Are they all gone now? They are for me. You rape women, you drug women, you rape women, it's over. Both men belong in prison. Cosby may still end up there thanks to the strength of some California lawmakers and a judge that goes, I don't care how old you are and how sick you are, you're a rapist. You belong in prison. And they are attempting to manipulate the law in an appropriate manner and also change some of the statute's limitation on sex crimes so that if one is committed and for whatever reason charges don't come up until 10 or 15 or 20 years later, the victims will still have an avenue to pursue justice. So that's the delightful local news that came out yesterday. And I should mention, by the way, Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club brought you the news, Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort. But you brought up the statute of limitations thing yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's common sense. I mean, from a legal standpoint, it's difficult to try somebody and put them on trial if memories fade and time passes and all of those things. But if a kid is abused and the kid doesn't have the courage or the will to talk about it until they're an adult, do they not deserve justice?
I completely agree. I always think child-related charges and sex-related charges, there should not be a statute of limitations for.
If you have any question about what a creep, my word, what a creep Denny Hastert actually was in his other life, he was a big booster of a guy that I personally like, a guy named Tom Cross, who is the state Republican leader for a long time. And Tom Cross would probably not have gotten to where he got to politically without a little boost from Denny Hastert in the beginning. It's hard to say, but as I said, I'm a friend of Tom Cross, or I like him, I should say. We don't hang out, but certainly he's a good guy, and we played golf a few times, that type of thing. And Tom Cross's brother did something remarkable yesterday when he spoke out in open court against Denny Hastert and told a story nobody knew, that he was one of the victims. The creepy Denny Hastert part goes deeper than that. When Denny Hastert was trying to get the judge letters from people to confirm that he was a swell guy, one of the people he asked for a letter was Tom Cross. Now, you can assume that he thought Tom Cross's brother never told him what he did. But even if he did assume that, do you have any moral line? Do you have any line at all that you're not willing to cross?
That to me was reprehensible.
Just unbelievable. I mean, what an awful, awful human being. So, yeah, you can live two lives right in front of everybody, and you can do it in public, and you can make a lot of money while you're at it. But at some point, God's going to find out about you, and Denny Hastert's going to jail for 15 months. When does he have to report? Do you know?
He'll report in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
He'll report in the next couple of weeks. They have to find a prison that will help him. He has a medical conditions. He is sick. So they're going to find a prison. I believe, actually, he'll be at a prison in Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, in Rochester?
Yeah.
That's one of the facilities I know they were talking about.
But could there be an appeal?
No, this is it. No.
Okay.
And he actually, which was strange in this case, he actually said, you know what, he said to the judge, whatever you give me, I'm ready to accept.
Big of him.
Yeah.
Adam Hoge on the draft later, Hamp on the draft later, and my friend Dennis DeYoung will be live in studio, and we're getting a keyboard hooked up. Let me go live to Mike Jacobson, who is a roadie for Dennis DeYoung, and was a roadie for Styx back in the day. Which is interesting because he's only 30. He was actually a roadie when he was 5.
Those were the good years, Steve.
Those were the good years. Yeah, you and Toothless, Mike, and the other guys used to hang out and tell roadie stories.
Don't forget Frank either.
Frank was great. Totally great.
Wouldn't shut up, but good guy.
So we got a keyboard from where?
Jason Skaggs, his spare keyboard upstairs. So through many of my sources, I was able to find that out.
Do you know anything about keyboards? Because I don't.
No.
I used to play one.
You did? Well, here's the thing. Dennis,
in eighth grade.
Well, it's a lot like being at Styx.
Well, you told me to get a, what was it?
A sustain pedal.
I had no idea what even a sustain pedal was.
Oh, it's like a synthesizer. Kind of makes, you know, the little tremolo.
Well, I saw it, and then I realized it was a pedal. So that was good.
So it's a pedal that hooks up to the keyboard. That's all you needed to know?
Yeah, basically.
He basically, his only request was, remember the time, Steve, when you had me come in and you had a Casio with two broken keys? Can we upgrade from that? So I thought that was a fair request. But this keyboard seems to work.
We'll find out.
Maybe we should have Andrea play us this song.
I was going to say, yeah, I'll go get the one. It's under my bed at my mom's old house.
Swing by.
I think it's still there.
Nick DiGilio on the Weekend Movies coming up in just a couple of minutes, and then Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein with a quick hit of politics this week because we're a little tight on time. Chris Hardwick later. If you don't know who he is, you will. He's got about a million things going on. And then April being National Autism Awareness Month, Massage Envy is raising a bunch of money for the cause, and one of the owners will be in, and we'll talk about what they're doing.
The Blips. Man, the Blips.
The Blips?
These are the guys that were kicked out of the Bloods and the Crips. The Blips. Blood Crips, Blips. I got into kind of selling heavier stuff. And when you're selling heavier stuff, turf becomes a thing, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, the 17th Street Blips, they did tell me, you know, they're going to break in. But, I mean, that's not like concrete proof.
The 17th Street Blips. Okay, where are they?
17th Street.
Okay. All right, look, maybe that's not the money clip. Nick will join us in just a second to talk about a very bizarre-looking movie with two guys that are really funny, Key and Peele. It's called Keanu, and it's about a cat. But beyond that, I'm not sure what's happening in the movie. And we'll also ask Nick about Risky Business, which is his new movie that he'll be showing next week in his regular Tuesday night slot. And Mother's Day with Jennifer Aniston. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Sandberg, our producer, but she loves Jennifer Aniston.
I know.
She's very big on Jennifer Aniston.
Big fan.
I believe what she said is Jennifer Aniston is the most beautiful woman in the world. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I just saw that.
She's become kind of stalkerish towards Jennifer
Aniston. I told
her, I said,
back off on the Jennifer Aniston love for a second, will you?
Big time.
It's unbelievable.
By the way, guess what movie I watched last night? Of course, I think it was On Demand or Netflix. Purple Rain.
I'll tell you. Some of the worst acting and terrible storyline.
I know. And, such a if you could just take out all the talking.
And the music
is great.
The music was just tremendous.
It was awesome.
Just tremendous.
I'm sorry. I cannot let you tell people that I am a fan of Jennifer
Here we
Aniston.
Go.
Sandberg actually doesn't like Jennifer Aniston and thinks she's overrated.
Completely overrated.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, well, she bumped.
Mayor!
Y'all bumped your head. 6:24, Nick DiGilio standing by. Let's go to Nick now. Somebody sensible I can actually talk to. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right, man. What's going on?
Well, you know, Sandberg's drunk. All right, so...
She was trying to call me for the segment, and she said my phone kept ringing. I didn't hear it ring.
Well, again,
look, I think she's loaded.
Well, that's the problem. She thinks Jennifer Aniston's overrated, and she can't dial a phone number. I mean, I got problems here. All right, so this Keanu movie, I can't decide if it's going to be funny or if it's going to be ridiculous.
Well, I think it's going to be both. I happen to think that Key and Peele are maybe the two funniest men on the planet right now.
Well, they're not funnier than you and I, but, I mean, they're good.
And when their show was on, for the 5 years it was on, the 5 seasons it was on, there was nothing on TV funnier, more creative, or close to the comedic genius that those two guys put on.
They're great. They're absolutely great. Yeah. I just don't understand a movie about a kitten.
Well, the plot is about a guy who, Jordan Peele plays a guy whose girlfriend dumps him. He's very depressed. And one morning he opens up his front door and there's a little kitten on his stoop. And he falls in love with it. He takes it in and he names it Keanu. And then some guys break into his house, steal his cat. They find out that it's the 17th Street Blips gang.
Those are the guys from 17th Street?
Right, the guys from 17th Street, the 17th Street Blitz.
Right.
And they've stolen Keanu, and he gets his cousin, played by Keegan, to go undercover as gangsters to get Keanu back, and all hell breaks loose. I have no doubt in my mind that I'm going to love this movie. And it's got three things in it that I love. Key and Peele,
right.
Cats, and George Michael.
George Michael's in the movie?
No, but there's George Michael music throughout the
movie. Ah, got it.
Yeah.
Keanu, any reason they called the movie or the cat Keanu? Is it some inside joke?
I didn't see the film, but from what I understand, Jordan's character calls him Keanu because he heard somewhere that it means sweet wind in Hawaiian. That's exactly why Keanu Reeves was named Keanu. But I don't know if they make a reference to Keanu Reeves in the movie, but I do know this much. At one point, Keanu Reeves provides the voice of the cat.
Oh, well, that is funny. All right, that's funny. The stupid that could be part of this sounds very promising.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. It comes out this weekend, and I think it's the one movie this weekend that doesn't look like my head is going to explode from stupidity.
Well, speaking of other movies, Mother's Day with the beautiful Jennifer Aniston, what do you make of that?
Oh, God.
is this another one of these Valentine's Day, New Year's Eve compilation situations?
Yep. George, it's Gary Marshall in his fantastic idiocy. He made Valentine's Day, which was horrendous, and New Year's Eve, which was even worse. And now it's another star-studded movie taking place on a holiday. It's Jennifer Aniston, Julia Roberts, Kate Hudson, Jason Sudeikis. I guess he lost a bet. Timothy Oliphant, John Lovitz, Margot Martindale, another, like, you know, all-star cast in another stupid movie made on a holiday by Gary Marshall.
Well, you know, these movies make money, right? That's why they keep getting made?
Well, the last one didn't make that much money. Valentine's Day did. New Year's Eve didn't. So, you know, I'm not sure what the motivation here is.
Well, I like Gary Marshall. I mean, he's a goofball, but I like him. And his movies are not good, but
in my opinion, Gary Marshall has made two really good movies. One great movie, and that's The Flamingo Kid with Matt Dillon, which I think is a great movie. And I also have a soft spot in my heart for Young Doctors in Love, which is a ridiculous movie, but it makes me laugh. Outside of that, man, I mean, like, he's responsible for Pretty Woman, which... is one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah, see, I like Pretty Woman because Larry Miller's a pal, and Larry Miller saying, whatever sucking up you need. That whole sucking up scene with Richard Gere was, it's solid Larry Miller. Well, Larry Miller brings it.
He does, and I love Larry Miller, and it's not his fault that movie is incredibly misogynistic and pro-prostitution. That's not his fault.
Wait, you mean a movie about a prostitute that has a heart of gold is that's a problem?
Well, it's not a problem because sometimes that works. In fact, I'm showing one Tuesday.
That was the segue. Risky business. He hates one. He loves another. How about your prostitute?
Well, she's not she's really not one with a heart of gold. She's a very screwed up girl in this movie. But yeah, Risky Business, I'm showing it Tuesday night. I couldn't be more excited. It's my second favorite film of all time. And this is the most I've been excited about. The post-show talk might last 6 hours. Because I have so much to say about this movie.
You see people trying to get out of the theater and Nick locks the doors. Oh, no, I have more to say.
Oh, yeah, no, we're bolting the doors, and I'm going to talk about every frame of this movie. but, no, I'm very excited about it, and it's on the big screen. It's beautifully shot. Chicago has never looked better in any movie, except maybe for Thief, than this one. And you know, it's Tom Cruise's breakout movie. It's a very, very dark satire, very, very kind of a bitter movie that, you know, in the past everybody was like, oh, it's a TNA movie with teenagers. It's not what it is. It's a commentary on that kind of crap. All the stuff that's glorified in movies like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, there are consequences for that kind of idiotic behavior, and that's what this movie's about. And I love it. And it's only $10 to get in. Parking is free. You can have dinner beforehand at Bogart's. Tickets are on sale now. Make your reservations at moviecode.com.
All right, buddy. Dennis DeYoung live in studio later if you're still awake.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
All right, see you, man.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Adam Hall.
Hi. Can you give us any insight into the plan for Thursday?
Not really.
What can you tell us about Barrett Jones, and is he ready if he needs to be?
Ready for what?
The always effusive head coach of the Chicago Bears. Hey, coach, shut up for a second. Don't give away everything. Adam Oakes standing by. He's been working hard for weeks now, preparing for today, tomorrow, and the weekend as it's draft time. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. And excited for year two with John Fox. Let's get a better relationship here going, I think.
Ask me any question. I'll do my John Fox impression. You tell me what you think. Any question about anything?
How's the weather in Chicago, Steve?
Well, you know, I mean, it's cold. And I don't think a guy like you would be able to look outside and see that. Next question.
Adam?
John, who are you going to draft today?
It's none of your damn business. Get out. Security!
John Fox sounds a lot like Bill Clinton.
It's close. It's really close.
I'm going to throw that out there.
Would it be better if I did my Queen voice? Because those are really the two that I have. All right, so where will you be tonight, Adam Hoke?
I will be at the Auditorium Theater, great venue for the draft. I thought it was last year.
Are you a seat filler, or will you be backstage, or where will you be?
I will be – last year I was in the last row of the balcony, way up top. That's where they put the media, looking down on the whole thing. But it actually was a pretty cool setup. I'll be connected to the radio station. I'll be on Justin Kaufman's show live as everything's unfolding tonight. So keep it tuned to WGN Radio. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And what will the plan be? The Bears go 11th, you know, so is there a chance they'd move up? I mean, what do they have to trade?
Well, I think there's a better chance that they'll move back. I think if we took one thing away from Ryan Pace's press conference yesterday, which I always find these press conferences the day before the draft to be hilarious. The NFL mandates these, and obviously the GM is not going to tell you anything about their plan. But he did, you know, be pretty clear that, hey, look, the phone lines here at Hallis Hall are open if anybody wants to make a trade. The Bears, he said they have more than 11 guys that they are prepared to draft at the number 11 spot, which is where the Bears are tonight. So it'll be interesting to see how things fall. Now, when you have 11 guys, there's always 3, 4, or 5 of those guys that you like a little bit more than the rest. And if there is that player, let's say a DeForest Buckner, who I know the Bears big board's coming up here at 7, but if you haven't noticed, he hasn't appeared on the Bears big board yet, and I think you might hear from him in about 20 minutes.
That's the defensive end from Oregon, right?
Yes, and if he were to suddenly slip to, I don't know, number 8 or number 9, and the Bears believe that that guy is a franchise-type changing player, and that is a huge position of need for the Chicago Bears on that defensive line, could really be a game-changer and improve the Bears' pass rush. Well, then maybe that's a scenario that unfolds, that Ryan Pace might actually get on the phone and say, hey, look, I'm willing to trade up. Because ultimately, guys, it's all about having those elite type of players, those Pro Bowlers, and it's great to have 9 draft picks. But if you have 9 mediocre guys when it's all said and done, you'd rather have that one franchise-changing player.
Yeah, it's the best, you know, the general thing you hear over and over again is best athlete on the board. And if you're moving down, you're getting a lesser athlete if you go by common sense, Dave.
Well, depending on how you have the guys rated, but how high up do you think the Bears would be willing to go, or could they go to get whoever it might be that has caught their eye?
Well, hey, look, you know, Ryan Pace never confirmed this last year, but there were some pretty credible reports that the Bears were making phone calls with the Tennessee Titans and trying to move up to number 2 to get Marcus Mariota. That's about as big of a trade as you could make on draft day. And that was going to involve trading Jay Cutler. So you think about where this franchise might be if that at all unfolded on draft day a year ago. I don't know if that would have been great. You know, I like Mariota a lot. He actually had a good rookie season, but Jay Cutler also bounced back and was pretty darn good too. But that, the point of me bringing that up is to say, hey, we don't know a whole lot about Ryan Pace yet, but that's an indication that he's ready to make a bold move if he has to, because not only would they have had to have given up Jay Cutler in that trade, but they would have also had to part with future draft picks probably, and ultimately that's probably why it didn't all materialize. So how far will they be willing to move up? Again, I think if they do, it's a scenario where a guy falls a little bit towards them. So we're probably only talking about moving up 2, 3, 4 spots at the most. I don't think they're jumping up in the top 5 to grab a guy. Now, the other interesting thing here, and I think this is maybe the biggest storyline of the evening tonight, Miles Jack, the linebacker out of UCLA, like Jalen Smith, the linebacker from Notre Dame, these were two of the top players, maybe the top two talents in the draft going into the college football season. Miles Jack suffered a meniscus tear in September, and reports are coming out in the last week or so that there's some significant knee issues still here going on, and that he's slipping, and that teams are having doubts about taking him in the top 10. Now, Jalen Smith for Notre Dame has fallen all the way out of the first round, probably because he's got apparently some severe knee nerve issues in that knee, and people want to stay away from him. But Miles Jack, to me, is a little bit more of a sure thing. And yet there's reports that he could fall out of the top 10. So what is the Bears' medical opinion on Miles Jack? Because that's all of a sudden one of those elite players, those game changers that could fall to a number 11. But ultimately, it's going to come down to what the Bears' doctors say.
And we're all day to day. Dave, right. Dave, who do you think the number one pick is?
Well, I mean,
you think it's Goff or Wentz?
I think it's Goff.
And what about you, Adam?
I think it's Goff too.
That's the California quarterback who would go number one to the Rams.
It is. And you know what, though? I actually think he's better suited going to Philadelphia. However, that's with the caveat of Sam Bradford actually stays there in Philly. I like what the Eagles are trying to do here. They moved up to the number two spot, and they're doing what I think all teams should do. Everyone wants to draft these quarterbacks and then throw them out there week one, and I hate that. I think every quarterback, no matter how good they are, needs some time to develop. So I love what the Eagles are trying to do here with, okay, Sam Bradford's probably going to be the starter week one, but they're still moving up to number two to grab Carson Wentz, who can sit for a year or at least half the season, develop a little bit before he has to go out there. And I think Jared Goff needs that time more than Carson Wentz does. I actually think Carson Wentz is more pro-ready because he played in a pro-style offense at North Dakota State. He's been at the line of scrimmage. He's dropped back from under center. He's made calls at the line of scrimmage, whereas Jared Goff's offense was more shotgun and pre-planned things that didn't involve making as many decisions at the line of scrimmage.
The only untouchable on this show, Dave, and this includes you and I, is Adam Hoke. Huh? See what I did there? Huh?
Hey. I think he is.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, buddy, good luck tonight. We are counting on you, and I know you'll be great.
All right, thanks, guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow morning once we find out who the newest Bear is.
Hamp, in about an hour, more of this stuff. First, Mary's here, and then Pat Brady can speak to what happened yesterday with Dennis Hastert. We'll talk a little additional politics with Eric Edelstein after 7 for a minute as well. Arianna Huffington at 7:20 this morning. She's going to talk about politics, but also about sleep.
The Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Because of law enforcement's efforts and tenacity, the curtain has been pulled back. We followed the case where it led. I wish Mr. Hastert had been called on the carpet in 1968, and we'd all be better for it. This is imperfect, but it's what we got. Mr. Hastert's legend and legacy are gone. And in its place are a broken, humiliated man.
It's 6:54. Pat Brady's here from Next Generation Strategies, Pat_Brady on social media. Yesterday, I know, was a tough day for you as well, because there's a lot of people you know, including Tom Cross, who ended up involved in this story.
And his brother turned out to be Individual D. And
a hero.
And a hero. And I tell you what, I spent a lot of time sitting around courtrooms watching sentencings, and that was the weirdest, saddest, most disgusting day I've ever spent.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I have a sense. I mentioned this earlier. I don't care how much good you've done as a politician in the community, whatever. You abuse children, it's all gone.
Nope, and Judge Durkin said it best. You are a serial child molester.
Right.
And whatever you were before, whatever you've done before, that's what you are. And he's going to prison, and I hope these people that were victimized can take some solace in the fact that some kind of justice is served here, and he is going to prison.
Well, it's a special kind of sickness, and Andre and I were talking about this earlier. I'm still amazed at the level of twisted that you have to be to ask the brother of one of your victims to write a letter for you to the judge.
Very twisted, and it came up at sentencing. We talked about it yesterday. He double victimized the first victim, individual A, by not only molesting him when he was 14, but when he came forward to try to extort him or whatever, he wired up and tried to get him the FBI after him. So it's a sick mind, and I hope he enjoys prison.
It's unbelievable. Two questions about prison. He has to report at some point soon, obviously. I want to ask you about that. And then were you surprised? I was very surprised that this judge went on and on and on about the molestation accusations. I really thought
he was making a point, right?
I think, yeah, he was. But I was very surprised. I thought he was just going to focus on what he was there for, the money laundering.
No. You know, Durkin, it's actually Jim Durkin's brother. Former federal prosecutor, was confirmed both by the Democrats and the Republicans unanimously. One of the smartest, most well-thought-out judges there, and he did the exact right thing. He laid the record down. There's no appeal here. It's time to go to prison.
Awkward transition, but in the interest of time, we have to make it. Carly Fiorina is chosen by Ted Cruz. Why? Why now?
Probably desperation play in Indiana and maybe picking up some congressional district delegates in California, where she won the primary there. But
is Indiana in play? I thought Cruz had it locked up.
No, it's close. But again, and it's boring for listeners, but the battle here is not the top line number. It's the delegate race. Trump's getting creamed on that by Cruz. But Trump had a big night Tuesday night. But let's see what happens in Indiana, and then we start heading west.
So that's what we call a beauty contest, where the popular vote is what it is and is a momentum generator and a fundraiser, but the actual delegate counts a different vote?
Yeah, he had a big delegate night on Tuesday, although...
But I mean in Indiana.
In Indiana, yeah, and the party picks a lot of these delegates, and I know a lot of people are delegates, and they're not Trump people, but we'll see. Somebody's got to beat him in Indiana or one of the other western states.
Does she help him?
I think she helps him with the base, because she's a very articulate spokesperson for the conservative part of the wing of the party. She started out strong and then kind of faded, so she finished at 2%, so I'm not sure what bump she adds.
Is she Chris?
The timing was good, though, yesterday on when Trump made his idiotic comments about Hillary Clinton and the woman thing to put a woman on.
But she's not that popular a woman. So I don't know that it helps.
I've never seen it. I actually like her. I thought she did a great job in the debate.
I thought she was good in debates as well, but she wasn't around long enough to cut down on the wall or the edge that she appears to have.
No, and smiley faces in politics are good every once in a while, and you don't see it out of either of those two.
Right. One of the last thing I was going to ask for, Andre, jumps in here, and that is Chris Christie. Is this Chris Christie to Trump? Is Fiorina that position? In other words, you jump in because you're desperate to stay relevant, or is there some end game for her?
She jumped in early with him, so probably stay relevant. I mean, why was she running anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, she lost. She ran in California, lost, and ran for president. And I thought she was very good, but stay relevant. But that's a ship to nowhere.
The continuing spinning of the Republican Party. You were
I can't even spin anymore. Rose yelling at me.
No, I'm not spinning. I'm not saying you're spinning. I'm saying the entire party's spinning.
Think of all the fodder. Do you think it's a turnoff when people see bitter rivals teaming up like this, when they go through this whole, I hate her, I hate him, I hate him, blah, 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 he said, she said, and now all of a sudden, well, I'm behind him. Oh, she's the one. We've put everything aside, and now we're besties.
I think people just want a ticket or leaders that actually do the job they're supposed to do. So I've got a lot of people that hate me that I still would work with, a lot.
But can you find one that'll do the job they're supposed to do? Because I'd like to know who they are.
Hey, listen, give them credit. Last week, they got some things done down in Springfield for higher ed funding.
They did. I was talking about the national ticket. But anyway, we'll take them over and find them.
I'm gun-shy now after being wrong for six straight months.
More with Brady and Edelstein coming up. Eric will join us in a little bit. Dennis DeYoung is scheduled to appear this morning, but you know rock stars.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
I intend to do everything I can, if I am not the nominee, to make sure that some Republican does not sit in the White House. But for the moment, we're going to fight all the way to the Philadelphia Convention, and we're going to win as many delegates as we can, and we believe we do have a path toward victory.
713, that's Bernie Sanders. Good time, Bernie. Pat Brady's here. Next Generation Strategies, and Eric Edelstein joins us on the phone. Eric, where do you work? I always forget.
I work at AL Media.
AL Media. I never forget. I actually park cars there. Bernie Sanders, is he in or is he out?
Oh, I think we're seeing the beginning of the end, or the end of the end, or something like that. I mean, he started laying off literally hundreds of campaign workers in states. When you start narrowing your focus and squinting and saying, oh, we're just retrenching to focus on this state or that state, it's always the beginning of the end of these presidential things. But, you know, again, he's got money. He's got a loyal following. I don't think that means an announcement of him suspending his campaign or getting out is imminent. But as we've said for a long time, I think now what we've known is now quite apparent that, you know, Hillary Clinton's the de facto nominee of the Democratic Party.
Who's her running mate? Have you figured that out yet?
You know, I was talking to people about that yesterday. There really is not a lot of speculation. There was a funny comment. One of her aides was on a show and asked, well, could it really be two women? And she said, well, there is precedent for two people from the same gender running on a presidential ticket.
It's a good line.
Could back a long time. So, you know, it's interesting. I think there's interesting psychology. If you're in line to be the first female president, do you want the historical nature to become about the ticket and not about you? I mean, it's a sort of an interesting phenomenon. I think she certainly could pick a woman.
Well, I'm going to go crazy and say if she's the pick, then maybe she ought to pick the best person available, you know, man, woman, or other thing that I hadn't thought of.
Well, if you ask Donald Trump, you know, she's clearly using gender as a screen.
Yeah, she's playing a woman
to
card.
Be a woman. Yeah. She's chosen to be a woman so she could play the woman card. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
This whole thing. So,
I'm playing a man card right now. I'm playing it all day.
Comment that there was in one of the national publications, there was a comment, I can't even say it on the radio, but the Broward County Republican chairman compared what Trump would do to her in a debate to Monica Lewinsky. I mean, just the horrible stuff that's coming out is just, you know, I think we're headed for an epic, depressing, but sort of, you know, laid bare discussion of gender and all its bad forms.
Assuming Trump wins, the ratings for debates will be epic. They'll be Super Bowl numbers, at least for the first one, because people want to see the carnage. Is that good for the office? No, I don't think so. I'm now going to attempt to do something which is almost magician-like. First, I'm going to have Mary do the traffic, but then we're going to come right back. I'm going to see if Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein will say something nice about each other's parties in regards to the fact that something got done in Springfield. And then Arianna Huffington in just a few minutes. Stand by for that. Eric Edelstein's here. Pat Brady is here in studio. And let me start with you, Pat. Explain what happened in Springfield. Let me get your mic on to start with you. Start, do it again.
Finally got some higher education funding. Basically what happened is it was a rank and file revolt, might be too strong a word, but the rank and file people got together, said we got to get something done for our constituents on both sides of the aisle. On our side, led by Jim Durkin, Leader Durkin, and Leader Redonia, and actually my cousin, State Representative Dan Brady, was instrumental, and they got it done, and the governor backed them. And so at least there's been some progress, and hopefully that's a template to go forward and get the budget deal done.
Who is a key Democrat that helped?
All of them. I mean, all across the board.
I believe that was a nice thing that you just said. Now let's see if Eric Edelstein could pass the test and say something nice about the Republicans. Eric, you're up.
No, I think it's terrific that the rank and file did move that. Pat's absolutely right. I'm happy to say good things about the Republican Party when they're moving stuff forward, and I would say members of the General Assembly did that. But that doesn't mean I'm going to say anything good about the governor, because as one columnist said, he's been an epic failure. And I don't think this stopgap changes that.
You couldn't help it, could you? You were doing so great. You were doing so great.
Steve, I've been working with Eric now for 6 years. I tried to
have a nice kumbaya moment, and it all blew up on me.
I'm complimenting the legislators because they moved this thing. They really did. But so
tremendous. Dennis DeYoung's in studio from Styx this morning. We determined that Pat snuck into a Styx concert and owes Dennis money. Are you also in that camp?
I am not, but Styx is a fabulous band. I wish I was there to meet him. He's one of my heroes.
Well, he was going to meet you until you were mean. no, kidding. Kidding, of course. At 7:18, thank you, buddy. We're short on time this week, but thank you, Pat. Thank you, Eric.
See you,
and we'll come back with Arianna Huffington in a moment on 7:20 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
We think that he's a little bit like Kim Jong-un. You know, he's both a buffoon and he's dangerous. So we started covering him as a buffoon.
The question is not where do you get the energy. The question is, what is it like to operate as though you are drunk?
Thank you, darling.
The lovely, talented, the mogul, Arianna Huffington. By the way, she wasn't talking about me. She was talking about Trump.
I know. Hard to discern, but yeah.
We'll ask her about politics, but first I want to ask her about something near and dear to our hearts, and that's sleep. Good morning, Miss Huffington. How are you?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing great. Nice to talk to you again. We got an interesting collection of folks in here, including Dennis DeYoung, legendary rock and roll voice. There's no voice better. Pat Brady is still here with us. Dave Ennett and Andre are here. We're all going to jump in. But let's talk with the sleep revolution. Why'd you write the book?
So I wrote it because of, first of all, my personal experience. I collapsed from sleep deprivation 9 years ago, broke my cheekbone on the way down, and then began to look around and see how many millions of us are burnt out. And I dedicate the book to all those who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, of going through our days like zombies, when in fact we can begin to recognize, as all modern science tells us, that sleep is not negotiable. When we get the amount we need, everything gets better.
How do you know what you need? Do you believe in the 8 hours, or is it individual?
Well, actually, there's a universal consensus that unless you have a genetic mutation, you're in the tiny minority who can get 4 or 5 hours and feel great. The rest of us, the vast majority of us, need 7 to 9 hours, somewhere in there. And the way we know what is our number is because we wake up without an alarm and we wake up fully recharged and ready to face the day.
Right. So you get out of bed and you feel good. Now, I've got a great mattress. I got a great pillow. And I'm not just saying that because they're clients. They actually are. But that's not enough, right? I mean, you still got to get the 7 to 9.
Oh, yeah. The mattress and the pillow make it easier. The key thing, the absolute key thing, and I have a whole half of the book on tips and techniques on how to get a good night's sleep, but the first and most important thing is turning off all our devices and taking them out of our bedroom.
Well, that's crazy talk. Now you're out of control.
Not all the devices.
Not all of them.
Are you sleeping with your smartphone? Please confess.
Yeah, well, I mean, it charges next to me, but you never know. When I get up to have to pee in the middle of the night, someone may have texted me.
Someone may have texted you, and my God, what will happen if you just wait until the morning? It could be a disaster.
That's true.
You know what I need, Arianna? I need you and your accent standing over me going, don't touch that, go back to sleep.
Well, you know what? My sister, who sounds exactly like me, has recorded a special meditation for the book. You can go to my website for the book, ariannahuffington.com. Download it on your iPod, not your smartphone, Steve.
And just let it run.
And then if you wake up, you can just play it, and then it will be like, I'm putting you to sleep.
Oh, that's sweet. Wonderful thing. Question on sleep?
Arianna, how do you feel about naps? I get maybe 5 hours a night, but then I'll nap for an hour in the afternoon. Good or bad?
You know, naps are fabulous if you, for whatever reason, have not gotten a good night's sleep. But is there any way in your life you can increase the actual sleep you get at night?
I should.
Yes,
I
you
need
should.
To. Yes,
yes,
go to bed earlier. Should. Yes, she's right.
Pat Brady, you have a question?
How does my alcohol intake affect my sleep?
Yeah, can you drink late at night? Because, you know, we're in show business.
If you're sleeping in bathtub gin, does it affect anything?
I mean, all of these are questions. None of them have...
Absolutely. All of them are questions, and you have the right person to answer them. So as I say in the book, and the idea of a nightcap, like having a drink right before you go to sleep, was that it was going to wind you down and help you turn off your brain and go to sleep. The truth is that that happens, but then halfway through the night, the nightcap changes allegiances and wakes you up with a dry mouth and makes it harder to go back to sleep. So try and sleep and drink and leave a gap between your drinking and eating and your sleeping.
So much for sports watching.
Yeah, Dave has an IV, a liquor IV hooked up at
no,
night.
No, that's not true.
That's not true.
I did have...
That you mentioned sports watching, that's actually a great point to bring up. Because athletes, a lot of the people you guys admire, like Andre Iguodala, Kobe Bryant, talked about how getting enough sleep made it so much easier for them to perform at peak performance.
And they're disciplined. They go to bed at the same time. They get up at the same time. They eat what they eat. You can learn from that.
Steve, don't you have an Ambien tamper in your refrigerator?
I do, as a matter of fact. I've got the helmet with the two Ambien drips on either side. It's a very serious problem, and it's crippling America, and that's why we recommend you get two copies of the book, because you're careless, you lose the first one. Look how tired you are. At least you'll know where the other one is. It's the sleep revolution, and of course, the Huffington Post, one of the great success stories, and the web revolution. So we salute you on both, but I got to ask you about politics. This campaign is nuts. It's completely nuts. Who are we going to pick, and how are we going to pick them?
Well, first of all, we all have to do our part to keep waking the American people about the dangers of Donald Trump. That's what we're doing at the Huffington Post. And if you want a segue from our first topic to our second topic, he displays all the symptoms of what the American Academy of Sleep Medicine describes as chronic sleep deprivation. You know, he says proudly that he only sleeps 4 to 4.5 hours.
He's cranky and he needs a nap.
He's cranky, outbursts of anger, irritability, he can't process even simple information, mood swings, instability, false memories. Remember all those Muslims who supposedly were cheering the collapse of the Twin Towers? Well, nobody ever found tape.
Yeah, false memories, blatant lies, fine line between the two, right?
So, bottom line is that he's somebody who would be very dangerous for this country, and that's why we have an editor's note at the end of each story on Trump that reminds our people of all these things, that he's proposed banning 1.6 billion Muslims, that he incites violence at his rallies, that he still doesn't believe Obama was born in this country.
There's just way too many things that have gone on and fallen out of his mouth that should frighten people away. Dennis, last word.
Yeah, I have a question for you. What did you think about Ted Cruz's announcement yesterday? Because I thought it was darling to see the DeVilles back together again after all that skinning the pup stuff that went on. I mean,
well, he's trying to do everything he can to at least win one or two of the next states. I mean, the key is going to be preventing Trump from getting the majority he needs for the convention. If he doesn't get all the delegates he needs at the beginning, then it might be easier to derail him.
Are you going to be in Cleveland?
I'm going to be in Cleveland. Are you going to be in Cleveland?
We will be in Cleveland. We should connect.
Let's get together. And I will give you some more sleep tips, because between now and Cleveland, I'm sure you're going to be practicing the tips and techniques of the sleep revolution. Right, Steve?
There's no question. I'm going to read it twice, and I won't fall asleep until the second reading, but I'm going to read it twice.
No. I will consider it a personal victory if you fall asleep while you are reading it.
How about that?
That's cool. Yeah.
How about that? An author that's happy you're falling asleep while reading her book.
Ariane, you've been successful, because during this interview, he dozed about 3 times.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's fantastic. I'm proud of you, Steve.
I'm doing what I can. The sleep revolution. We love you. Hold the line. It's Ariane Huffington. Let me give you the website again. It is arianahuffington.com. And well, just do this. Google Ariana Huffington and sleep, and you'll get the book and get a couple of copies. Dan Hampton, who looks nothing like Ariana Huffington and has a much different accent, will be on here in a little bit. We'll talk to Hamp about the draft. And then probing personal questions that are none of my business from rocket legend Dennis D. Are you going to sing, by the way?
I'm going to sing, by the way. It's one of my favorite tunes.
He just wrote it. 7:31. Big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
He's the worst quarterback that has played in the NFL the last 5 years.
Period.
Loser. And that's embarrassing. We look like losers.
And they weren't ready.
weren't ready. He went from all Sean to some Sean to no Sean in about a month here. If you're not going to help us, get out of the damn way.
Period.
It's almost like he's paralyzed by indecision.
And folks, I got a better word for it, Danny. I'm out. Could it be possible this kid takes scared the death pill?
The what?
Listen, we're just getting into summer, and I don't want to rush a minute of spring and summer, but I can't wait for the Hamp and OB with Kaz show this fall again.
Yeah, can we hear a little more of that?
Just too good.
It's the best.
I have two of my favorite musicians in studio this were on the phone, one on the phone, one in studio this morning. Of course, Dennis DeYoung is here, and Dan Hampton's on the phone. Hamp, you and Dennis have played together, haven't you? Or at least on the same stage?
Hey, good morning, Dennis. Shoot, yeah, we did. We opened 4th of July a couple of years ago for Dennis at Elgin and had a wonderful time. It was great listening to his fabulous music. It's great to have him. And you know what? We're actually looking for safeties. If he could help us in the draft today, we could pick you up as a safety.
Well, he's in great shape, man.
Yeah, if Pace drafts me, I will not serve. But I will run. I'll bring Gatorade to people.
Now, I have said this on the air, but you actually have credibility when it comes to this topic. Chicago Six is a good band.
They're very good. And, you know, I'd never seen them before. And I watched from the side of the stage, and I was amazed. I mean, you know, listen, these guys, they spent their lifetime running into people.
Right.
So, and they got up there and they played. It was very credible. It was very good indeed. And, I Otis Wilson was up there, and McMichael, and you, Dan. And it was very impressive. I thought, well, you know, I thought maybe it was just for fun, but no, they were serious.
And Hamp, I don't know if Dennis knows this story, but you know, pick it up from this part. You were in the high school band, and the football coach made you play football. Isn't that how it went down?
He shamed me. He shamed me into playing football. I was the biggest kid in school, and I was carrying an alto sax onto the field at halftime, and he's like, come on. it's time you put the sax down. And and, you know, it is what it is. But by the way, Dennis and I, we share the same pizza spot once in a while, a place here in Burr Ridge called Capri. And
oh, yeah. You go over there. What do you live out there someplace?
Yeah, I live next door to the Salamones, who own the Capri.
I'm so much in debt to the
small world
the
here.
Yeah.
Well, you like Norm from Cheers? You walk in and the Capri's just put it on your tab. Is that how it works?
No, I call up and they bring it to my house.
Oh, even better.
Yeah,
even
I'll have the gluten-free better. Pasta, whatever. What do you got over there?
Oh, that's tremendous.
That place is awesome.
We're gonna get a traffic update here, and then Ham's gonna give us some insight into the draft tonight. And the Bears' first couple of picks, and more with Dennis DeYoung as well. Dean is off today, so you take a quick look at show business. But then after 8, we'll be talking to Dennis about everything that's ever happened in his career, ever. So stand by for all of that. Ham sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. And here's the deal. If you are a fan of great athletes, you got to be a fan of the new lineup of Chevys. Because just like great athletes, they have all the moves. The Chevy lineup is versatile. On the highway and on the side streets. They can make the quick cuts. They can make the turns. They can deliver the way great athletes deliver. And they think. They think at a higher level. From the 4G LTE Wi-Fi connecting up to 7 devices in your car to all the bells and whistles you could ever ask for. And the Chevy Silverado with all that cash back going on now. Just get to your Chevy dealers and get the details. You know, it's the one that Hamp drives, the Silverado. And that double cab. That's an all-star.
You don't drive that one, though.
I have the ice blue Chevy Impala.
The Iceman.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So get Hamp's ride or get mine or get your own. As a matter of fact, get your own. It's ChevyDriveChicago.com is the website for your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevy dealers. ChevyDriveChicago.com. More Hamp in a second. At 7:50, Dan Hampton, our Chicago Bears legend. Hamp, how's the golf game? You and I, all we do is talk about playing. We never hook it up.
Well, we've got to make it up out at Medina sometime, but it's a little shaky, but summer's coming, won't be long, and, it's one of those never-ending sagas. Just right. Got to keep after it.
Yep, that's it. All right, so you're not. I don't picture you, Hamp, as a guy that sits around with a mock draft board all day, but you pay attention to what the Bears need and what you'd like them to get. Who do you like?
Well, let's go back and look at quickly what happened last year. You know, there were bright spots here and there, but in the 10 losses, 75% of those, you could say, hey, we were not a factor because of pass rush. We did not have enough ability to force the opponent's quarterback into making mistakes. And turning, we only had 17 turnovers. Pass rush is the great equalizer. We saw that in the Super Bowl, where a decrepit old fella, a quarterback, was able to hang on and make a couple of throws here and there because of the fact of his dominant defense controlling the game. And that is what we have to look at today. And last year we took the flyer on Kevin White. Hopefully this year we will get some results out of him. But we have got to be adamant about getting the best pass rusher for our defense. And in my mind, it's got to be Shaq Lawson, the kid from Clemson. He's the best, most versatile pass rusher that puts his hand on the ground in this draft. And there's no question in my mind, he'll be available at 11. And, you know, I know everybody's talking about the running back from Ohio State, Ezekiel, and all these guys. No, you've got to think, what works? Well, guess what? Pass rush won the Super Bowl. Let's think about making our pass rush one of the best.
First of all, the Elliott thing, I'm with you. I don't see that as even a possibility, even if the Bears wanted to draft him, unless they somehow moved up, because I don't think he's going to be there at number 11. But this is obviously a more pressing need for the Bears. Is it just that you like Lawson, or is there anything you don't like about the other guys who also can rush the passer who might be available at 11?
Well, see, and that goes, you know, as far as the running back. Hey, we had a good running back, and we decided to let him walk in Matt Forte. It's not that they are not that important. It's that we have certain players that can fill that role. Well, the same thing can be said when you're looking at Leonard Floyd, the outside kid from Georgia. You know, he's a big, rangy rusher. We've got that with Willie Young. We've got enough on the outside with Lamar Houston, Willie, Parnell, McPhee, and Ocho. We need some people that are able to collapse the pocket. I go back and think about the Denver Broncos. They came into town with their backup quarterback, Osweiler, and we never did anything to make the kid make a bad decision. And that game, you can go back and say, well, John Fox went for it on the 4th and 6th at the 6-yard line, and that was well, there's a reason why, you know, we were in that position where that was a critical play. We didn't do enough to make them make mistakes. We've got to find disruptors in the pass rushing game. And yeah, everybody knows that Denver, you know, their two outside guys were very, very good, but it was the entire four-man pass rush that played havoc on Cam Newton and collapsed that offense. So in my mind, there's no question. We need the best three technique right now, and it has to be Shaq Lawson. The kid down in Louisville, he's a little bit – he could be – if Shaq's gone, he could be the guy that Pace needs to look at. But more importantly, that is a guy you can build a defense around.
And that's what we have to get. Sheldon Rankins is the other big defensive tackle that's expected to be on the board when the Bears pick, the Mississippi defensive tackle, Kim Dichi, later on. He is farther down the board. There's Jaron Reed from Alabama as well. But the Bears don't exactly have a stellar record when it comes to first-round draft picks. So we're hoping this new crew of administrators is going to be better. We don't know if they picked the right guy last year because they didn't play enough to tell us.
Well, you know, from 2009 to 2012, think about that. 2009, 10, 11, 12, those years, those drafts, we have one player on the roster from those four drafts. It's Alshon Jeffrey. And he's not showing up in the voluntary camps.
Right, but right.
I'm just saying we cannot whiff at all costs on the first-round pick this year. And in my mind, you know, you look – and come on, Clemson was in the championship. There's a reason why teams play great, get to championship games, is because they have – great player. Shaq is one of those kind of players. He hasn't been involved in any kind of, you know, trouble or off-season incident or anything. I just think we don't have anyone on our team like him. And even though Eddie Goldman has a bright upside, he's not one of those guys that's going to be a consistent slashing pass rusher. We've got to get that. And, you know, it's going to be a benefit this year. It's like, hey, we're going to get a double bang because Kevin White should be healthy and back. So it's like this year we'll have two number ones.
And Hamp will be all over our coverage. Before I let you go, Dennis, I think back to when you were playing gymnasiums and stuff when you guys first got together. Hamp, tell Dennis and tell everybody else about what your draft day was like. They didn't exactly have Draft Town back then, did they?
No. I was, we had an athletic dorm, and, you know, we had a common phone that my roommate and I used, and I told him, please don't be using a phone in the morning. And it rang, and it was 6 minutes after the draft started, and I'm thinking, there's no way I'm getting a call this early, and I started cussing, thinking it was Marty Mitch and my buddy down the hall kind of trying to prank me. And after the third hang-up, Bill McGrain, a wonderful man who just passed away this past fall, said, do not hang up. This is Bill McGrain of the Chicago Bears. And
the
guess
rest
what?
Is history.
That was a long time ago, 30-something years ago, and it changed my life. And a lot of kids, it's going to change their life today. It's very exciting. And let's just hope we find a player that changes our life, because I can't take 6-10 again.
Dave and Dennis, get in here quickly before we run out of time.
Listen, Dan, I would be remiss if I didn't say this. You know, I became a Bear fan at 13. I was on a team that won a city championship. We got the scrimmage on the at a Bear Lions game at Wrigley Field.
Oh, you're
that's
kidding.
All right. No, and that's
cool
when I became
that?
That's when I became a Bear fan. So I've been a Bear fan that long. And I want to tell you this from the bottom of my heart. The 85 Bears, of course, were the greatest defense of all time,
sure.
And Dan Hampton was the greatest player on that team.
No doubt.
And that's all I want to say to you, and I want to say thanks for, you know, making me all the years I suffered as a Bear fan. We're going to take that season to our grave.
Yes, we are, and we're going to celebrate it every minute of the day. Last question, Dave.
Well, I just think Hamp has made a very compelling argument here for Shaq Lawson.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of hard to argue with the way that he spells it out. And just the other quick note, adding to Hamp's story, still the best draft day story I've ever heard, Hamp, and I know you know this one too. It was Kaz, who was coming off knee surgery at BYU, and he hung up on Mike Ditka. What, how many times, Hamp?
Four times,
and Ditka still picked him. Well, how about that? Yeah. All right, buddy, all the best. Have fun today, and I know you've got a busy day, and we will talk later on.
And they'll be on Saturday afternoon.
Thank you so much. And, Dennis, thank you for a wonderful compliment. By the way, the Chicago Six, tomorrow night at the NFC stage, 7 o'clock. So come on out. Fight the cold.
Very nice.
Great.
And Hamp will be back to plug that again tomorrow. It's because we'll be talking about the Bears pick tonight. All right, before we go any further and talk a little bit more about Dennis, and Dennis is going to sing. What are you going to sing? You need me to help you sing anything?
Yeah, I was thinking if you would do Dust in the Wind for me, then I wouldn't have to do it.
I think the kid's going to be a star. It's Dennis DeYoung and his keyboard. We actually put Dennis in keyboard hell this morning because we got him a keyboard without a sustain pedal. And if you play keyboard, you know that's a big deal. So can you explain to us non-keyboard players why it's a big deal?
Well, because it sustains.
All right. You've been listening to Inside Music, a detailed explanation of why things work.
Behind the music.
Strong letter to follow.
Jumping off of speakers and stuff. You jump around on stage. You're always a knucklehead on stage. You ever get hurt in the middle of a concert?
You know, one time I pulled my prostate.
No, no, no.
It had never been done before, medically speaking.
That was coming in here this morning.
Never. It was the first time.
That was walking in here. That's a whole different thing.
I did it laying down.
You never, but seriously, you never got hurt on stage.
Oh my God.
You ran around like a knucklehead.
I have nothing but a history of being hurt on stage. When I was in Jesus Christ Superstar, for God's sakes, we were doing the dress rehearsal. I did, you know, I played Pontius Pilate for 6 months. I crucified all over North America. And we were at dress rehearsal in Baltimore. And I was at the highest point of the platform on the stage.
And if people remember the set, they had the steps coming all the way down.
That's right.
It was like two stories, wasn't it?
Well, no, it was 9 feet, but it felt like it when I hit the floor. Through the whole rehearsal, the director said, stand up there until the lights go down on you, then exit.
Okay.
I said, fine. And on that night, he had forgot to tell the person who brings in the roll drop on that spot that he was going to, he forgot to tell me that he was going to bring it in early. He'd forgotten. So I'm standing up there. I'm really nervous about being Pontius Pilate, but I got through the first two songs in the dress rehearsal in front of an audience, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm good.
Look how cool I am.
I'm good. Look at this. I'm Pilate.
Right.
And then the roll drop hit me on the head, knocked me right off the platform. I fell to the stage floor.
Did you fall forward or behind the set?
I fell behind.
So this is like the worst exit ever.
Yeah. Where'd he go? And I hit the floor, and for just a second, I blacked out. I opened my eyes, and who's standing above me?
Jesus Christ.
Your wife was just telling me.
I thought, either way, I'm all right.
Your wife was just saying, tell the story about where you were going down during, was it Mr. Roboto? And you were, what?
Two tight pants.
You lost.
Oh no! I got embarrassed myself. That was my fault. But let me just finish that. I came back, and the tour went on. I was in rehab for 3 months.
Is that right?
Yeah, I got really badly hurt, but
concussion, back, the whole deal.
No, it was really a grade two MCL on the.
Oh, you blew your knee out.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, when I hit the stage floor.
What's the tight pants story?
Oh, the tight.
Or should I say, in your case, the 70s?
No, this was recent.
Oh, recent?
Yeah, this was in
Montreal. Doing Roboto?
No. It was. It was Montreal, and it was an outdoor show, 40,000 people, but it was cold.
Okay.
So I had a big winter coat on, and I had these really thick black velvet pants, but I wore them because I was freezing. I'm skinny. I'm a skinny old white man.
You are skinny. Yeah.
So I got these pants on, and I go back at one point in the show and get the Roboto mask, and then I bring it forward, magically produce it, and the crowd goes, ooh,
right.
As if it matters. So so I go back there, and I'm coming down these steps because I've never been on this particular stage before.
Sure.
So as I'm coming down, being dramatic, as I'm showing the people how cool I am.
Yeah, of course.
The top half of my body seems to be going faster than my legs. So as I'm going to, I realize I am going to run right off the front of the stage.
Oh, you're kidding.
Which is about 12 feet high. Because it's a big festival. And so I just do the football thing. I duck and roll. No, I just went straight down on my shoulder.
Right.
And I stopped at the edge of the stage. And this actually happened. I know it sounds supernatural. But right on the beat when the band goes, bum, 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 I'm laying on the stage floor. And up goes the mask.
You know why? You're people, a showman.
People,
you're a showman.
There's no people like show people.
See, I thought this was going to end when you split your pants front to back, but not so much, huh?
Oh, I still suffer from it. I have arthritis in my shoulder from it. I mean, it was a brutal fall, but I figured that was better on my head.
People think rock and roll is an easy life. It could kill you, kids. I'm just saying right now.
Listen, don't shortchange the danger.
That's exactly right.
Well, Prince is dead.
How about that? Did you ever meet him? Mm.
No, but I wore purple in his honor. That's as far as I go with a Prince tribute because, you know, I'm not going to ruin his songs. Here's what I think.
I'd love to hear you do Purple Rain. Not today, but I would love to hear you do Purple Rain. Your voice doing Purple Rain, that'd make me cry. Of course, I'm easy.
Well,
stick around. More stories in a second. First, sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks, we continue.
Lady, when you're with me, I'm smiling.
Dennis DeYoung live in studio.
Just touch me, and my troubles all fade.
I told Dennis's story the other night. We were talking on the phone. I think we met in Minneapolis, but one of the first times that he sang on a morning show for me was probably here at the old FM 100. And I don't think you remember this because, you know, at that point, I think I was your valet. But you came in studio at 7 o'clock in the morning and you had some traffic, big surprise. And you came in and you were funny because you're always funny, but you were a little flustered and stuff. And you came in and we had a keyboard hooked up. And I'm not making this up. It's 5 minutes after he walks in the door and he sang Lady and blew the roof off. And I've never in my life, I mean, I know a lot of people. I'm telling you, I know a lot of people. I have scratched and clawed my way to the middle, my friend. I know a lot of people. I've never seen anybody like you who can sing like it's 10 o'clock at night at 7 o'clock in the morning. Is that the gift?
Well, thank you so much, Steve, for that.
Look, you know the best kind of luck? Dumb stupid.
But I'm telling you.
You think somebody taught Michael Jordan how to jump up like that?
So everybody gets a gift. That's your gift.
No, some people get nothing.
Right, but your gift is...
Because the universe is so unfair.
It is unfair.
No, tell me about fairness and deserve. You know, I don't hate those words.
But could you always do that? Sing it any hour of the day?
My parents reveled in telling the story when we used to ride in the car and sing Christmas carols that Dennis was the worst sounding singer because he was always flat. It's true. No, this is... Was like,
well, when did it kick in? Puberty? When did you get a voice?
Last Thursday at noon. Now, here's what happened. I was... it was eighth grade. I don't forgive... how could you forget this? Because I bore the burden, the cloak... Uh-huh. Of off-tuneness. They didn't have, you know, auto-tune in those days.
Right.
So it was the Christmas pageant at Bennett Grade School on the South Side. And everyone got one of these little fake candles to hold, and we had red robes, and we walked down the aisle and sang, "Oh, come all ye faithful."
Sure.
And so we were rehearsing it, and the teacher said, "Dennis, sing that again." And she says, "You come over here and stand in the front." And that's when, you know, I thought it wasn't my looks, right. Although I was devilishly handsome at the time.
You're still strikingly handsome.
So that was it. That's the first time I knew I could sing. But really, the truth of the matter is...
But did you have a teacher that you really listened to or anything?
No,
I mean, you're self-taught, aren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, want to hear a great story? I was on tour, not to drop a name, with Robin Gibb in Germany about 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
And he never talked to anybody except... to me for some reason, because the tears were fierce, but I played piano for him on How Deep Is My Love, because they brought us all together, and I played piano and he sang it. It was great. He's just a lovely guy. And I told him the story that back in 1969, the best of the Bee Gees had come out.
Okay.
And I was just about ready to, you know, try to get a record deal.
Yeah.
And I would listen to that and try to control my vibrato. Somewhere between his fast one and Barry's, and went, ha, ha, ha,
yeah.
You know, I sat there and sang with the Bee Gees until I could control the vibrato in my voice. And I told him that. It was just such a thrill to be able to tell him.
Was he, I assume he was complimented by that. He was honored by that.
He was very
He's a sweet guy.
Humble. Did you ever meet him?
I have met him, yeah.
Yeah, very shy and humble and unassuming. And he was great, but the best story is that the piano came up out of the stage, right. And then there was a space in the floor, okay? And it was my job not only to play the piano, but to make sure that Robin didn't fall in the hole. Now, you're laughing.
You're caddying for Robin.
Is that true?
Yeah. So if he wandered too close to the hole, what would you do?
Well, I would jump. I'd go like this. Robin, there's a hole in the stage.
Let's talk about your friend Larry.
Yeah, Larry Legode.
Yeah, Larry Legode. Tell me who Larry is.
Well, Larry was my best friend in grade school and in parts of high school. He went on to Mendel, and I went to Harlan High School.
Okay.
So, you know. But we still hung out together.
Yeah.
And Suzanne was just telling this story. You said there's great stories, but the night of our prom.
Suzanne is your lovely wife who's here, and you're still over your skis as you've been for years.
Yeah. And I was 17. She was 15. And I went to pick her up, and I had left the what do they call those things? The corsage?
Yeah, yeah.
At my house in typical fashion for me.
You forgot her flowers.
What?
It was your prom.
1964. Yeah. Oh, my God, 64. Was that the Civil War? So,
and you forgot her flowers?
You forgot her flowers.
Andre, you can. So Larry was there. He jumped in his Ford and flew back to my house and got
saved
the flowers.
Saved your butt.
He did.
Saved your butt.
Yeah.
You imagine what could have happened. You could have blown him off. The idiot forgot flowers. Everything changes.
Brought her the flowers. He was a hero. And I gave her everything. She had the dress and we matched. I had lime green. No, I was blue that time.
Right.
And it's still no slap and tickle.
I think it worked out all right for
you. It was 64, so we were making out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it worked out just fine.
It did.
How did her dad not kill you?
Yeah.
He moved to California.
To get away from me.
Fantastic. You're marrying Dennis DeYoung. I'm leaving the state.
Yeah. Remember, in those days, I was just Dennis DeYoung.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
There was nothing. Dennis is going to sing for us coming up here in a few minutes. I also have to ask him some stories about some other people, including the time Sting stole his wallet.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
The guy's loaded.
Yeah.
He's got to go through my wallet in the dressing room. I said, take anything, but don't you take my TSA card because I love it.
You know what we were talking about earlier, and we're way late here, and I don't care that much. We were talking earlier about great guitarists because we were talking off the air about Prince, and sure. I keep coming back to voice. Who's your favorite singer? Who's your favorite rock voice of all time?
Well, it's Paul McCartney because of all the things he can do. He can sing the ballad, and he can rock like anybody. If he wants to, he's as good as anybody. So it's him. He's in a class by himself. But, you know, you got to love Elvis because let's face it, before there was Elvis, nobody sounded like him. Now everyone does him. That just goes to show you how monumental and unique that voice was. It came out of nowhere. So when I think of great singers in rock music, it's definitely McCartney first, and then it's Elvis second. Here's an odd one. If you want hard rock singers, I love Bon Scott from AC/DC. Not the guy who replaced him, who's a nice enough fella. But Bon Scott, he just sounded like he was about to explode and go out
really?
Of control.
Yeah. Yeah, and he could control it, right?
Yeah, he was like out of his mind. Of course, his life ended much too soon, but he was like on the edge at all times as a rock singer. But, you know, there's a lot of great rock singers, man.
Everybody gets starstruck at some point. So you're coming up, Styx explodes, you're a rock star, you're a kid still, and you're a kid from the neighborhood, and you're a regular guy. Who are you most nervous meeting?
The guy from the IRS.
Right. Other than government officials interested in your money, people in show business, who are you most nervous meeting?
I never was nervous meeting anybody in show business. I met President Reagan in his office. I met Jimmy Carter. Nobody in show business ever. I was in Barbara Streisand's house because she wanted me to produce two songs for her. But when I met Paul McCartney.
The coolest, right? You're Soldier a kid Field, that loved the Beatles.
At Soldier Field. You know, people who know me, I'm not at a loss for words, Steve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went like this. Hi, pop, hi, baby. And so my wife literally had to step up and say, his name is Dennis DeYoung. And so, but I got to say this to him. I said, Paul, because I saw you on Ed Sullivan, I have a big house and two Mercedes in the garage.
Right.
I told him that.
Right, and a nice life.
And he laughed, and I said, that's because of you. And it's true. It wasn't just him, mostly him, but the Beatles on Ed Sullivan in 64, as so many musicians from my generation will tell you, was an epiphany.
I bet McCartney was a Styx fan. I bet he was.
I don't think so.
Well, let's ask him. We're going to bring him out right now. Paul McCartney's here.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Steve. I'm very happy to be here.
Wow, you can do both voices. Back with the Beatles and Styx and Dennis DeYoung and more coming up on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
My pal Dennis DeYoung is here and will be in Merrillville on May 7th. Is that a week from Saturday?
It's a week from Saturday.
Thanks to you and Suzanne, we're going to give away some tickets here. So if you can guess whether Dennis is a boxers or briefs guy and you are caller 7, 8, or 9, we'll set you up with a pair of tickets. We'll take your name, set you up and we'll call. You'll be able to go to the show. Everybody wants you to play Chicago all the time, but it seems you've got a little Canuck blood in you. They love you in Canada.
Yeah, I'm like Sting in Canada. I don't know what it is, but listen, all things being equal, better there than in Kabul. So
it's tough to play Kabul.
No, and the French Canadians are great. It broke in Canada. And really, the French Canadians were responsible for that in 1975. We'd had a hit record here with Lady, but really, we were platinum selling artists and able to, you know, sell out the Forum before we were able to do that in the United States. So it continues to this day, which I thank them for. Merci beaucoup.
Yeah, I don't know what you said, but it sounded good.
Merci beaucoup.
Most of my French is limited to Pepe Le Pew. Remember the little stinky, skunky guy?
He was smooth.
Dennis, was Lady written about any particular person? These are texters.
Well, it's funny you should ask. If I was at the piano, I would do the joke right now, but I'm not at the piano.
I know the.
Originally, went like this. Larry, when you...
It wasn't about your best friend, Larry.
No, it was not. I wrote it for my wife.
Yes.
You know, because she was, when I met her, Southside girl that she was, Catholic school, she was so ladylike, you know, and I was thinking, well, I'll write this song about her, and... you know, it'll be good. And then when we get older, we'll be able to sit around, and then she'll thank me.
You're waiting on that still?
It's not happening.
From Jeanette, Dennis, what's the status of Hunchback? Is it ever going to come back? By the way, background, Hunchback of Notre Dame.
You're referring to Steve's problem today, or what?
No, that's my back problem,
that's
yes.
You, yeah.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame, you wrote original songs, put it together. I know you showcased it around the country,
right.
and you did the album. So what's the status now?
Well, we won a Jeff Award in 2008 for Best Musical. I'm working on it right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
I have an offer to do it unquestionably out in California to open the season next year, and we're talking to two other people. I have this day job, as you well know, which is, you know, what people really know me for and
right.
really want to see me do, which is play those Styx songs, which I will play out in Merrillville next Saturday. It's going to be like a Styx greatest hit show, but I'll be playing some songs from my solo career as well. Harry's Hands will be in the set, but when it comes right down to it, you know, I really love the, you know, you were one of the first guys to hear the Hunchback.
I had the great honor of sitting in your living room and you played me the sound or the the soundtrack. I'm in pain here. I'm trying to come up
I know,
with the right
and I
words.
Told you the whole story. Read
and
you the
told
book.
Me the story and read me the book, and it was brilliant. Of course, I saw you do it, and I thought you were great, whether you were falling off stage or not.
Yeah, I know.
So
we're working on it, but thanks for asking.
Dennis makes us proud of the old neighborhood, Marilyn Bogey.
Oh, my goodness. Marilyn Bogey.
Yeah, how about that?
Good grief. Marilyn Bogey was the she was crossing guard. Mickey Bogey. Oh, here's a great story. Mickey Bogey. The night I met my wife outside of at Mendel Catholic High School dance, the night I met her, she was waiting to be picked up. And Mickey Bogey and myself, and I think Larry and Dave Easter, we were all coming out of the dance. I'd never seen my wife in the dance, but there she was standing there. And I went, yo-ho-ho-ho! So I made a move on her, you know, and I took her hand out of her pocket and I said to see if she had a steady ring on. She didn't like that. I was too forward.
Right.
And she told me a few weeks later that she was attracted to Mickey Bogey.
You're kidding.
No. And I thought to myself, what? He had a pink blazer? What's the deal?
Right. Suzanne Bogey. I don't like it.
Yeah. No. Mickey Bogey. And I thought, well, Mickey, if you're out there listening, tough.
From the 630, I was listening to Dennis in his basement and garage in Roseland when the band was at Tradewinds and TW4. I knew him back when he was just Darcy's big brother. Love Little Karen.
Little Karen.
Everybody from the old neighborhood coming back. How
little
about it?
Karen. Big Karen would have been my cousin Karen. That's Big Karen.
That's but Little Karen's not.
Little Karen was my sister Darcy's friend. They live like, you know, on the next block.
Before I ask you to sing, and we'll give you the winners' names here for the tickets here in just a second. We were talking about Sting stealing your wallet.
Yeah, it's
a shame that he's
sad.
It's gone to that. But I want you to talk to me about Adam Sandler's Christmas party.
Okay.
So Sandler's a huge fan.
Yeah, he he's put Styx music in everything he's ever done. Just about his sister, who was older, was a huge fan and played the records all the time, and he was very impressionable as a young man. So he loves the band, but. I've met him a couple times, and then when he did Big Daddy, he called, not me personally, but he called to get six. He wanted to license six songs.
Okay.
That's no. Nobody licensed six songs from a band unless it's the story of the band.
Yeah, then it's a documentary.
Because it's wildly expensive.
Yeah.
So he said, well, okay, he narrowed it down to three, and... they said, there's going to be this scene where this little boy goes on the stand to say that, and Styx were the greatest American rock and roll band if it had not been for the idiocy and stupidity of rock critics. That was in there. He was going to put that in the movie.
Which is great.
So I said, I'll cut you a deal. So I cut the price if that line stayed in the movie. So it stayed in the movie. And so at Christmas party, they called me up and said, you want to come out and play? And we went out there, and he throws it every year. And there's about 2,000 people. He throws it for his production crew, all his friends, his family. And I played, Gene Simmons played, Courtney Love played. Rick Springfield played. Let's see.
That's a pretty good party.
Yeah, there was like 20 people. Kevin Cronin from REO. And we each did like three songs. And you can go to my Facebook page or my webpage and see the photos of it. It's great.
DennisDeYoung.com, by the way.
Yeah. And, we just we hung out and we sang together. He did every song with me. And he's just a huge fan. And he's just really like the guy you see on TV. He's kind of, he always comes off
just a regular guy.
Yeah,
he's just a regular guy with $400 or $500 million.
That's it. And he's just a regular guy, nice guy.
And a bunch of stars at that party.
Yeah.
Does that mean you stayed up past 10 o'clock?
Well, you know, I have it in my contract. I have, you know, I have to get the early bird special at Denny's. I get a super bird, and then I run out of the building.
You know, a boy has his needs.
I stayed up late that night.
What are you going to sing for us when we come back?
I don't care.
All right, well, we'll be back. You'll hear I Don't Care by Dennis DeYoung in just a couple of minutes. Stand by for that. This hour is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. When do you guys want to tell me about Lindeman Chimney, since I don't seem to have that in front
Lindeman
of me?
Lindeman Chimney. It's a place you can trust.
Yeah. Yeah,
we nothing. Love yes, Lindeman Chimney.
They do a wonderful job.
Yeah, they clean
do you have a desk?
I know. Fireplace.
All right, so you know what? I'll tell you about Lindeman Chimney in a couple of minutes, but before I do that, here's what I really want to tell you about right now. Another part of your house, your deck. Deck. Mother's Day is quickly approaching. Going to give mom on her special day. How about you redo her deck? Not you. Get the pros from Deck Tech to do it. Right now, you can replenish the natural oils which preserve, protect, and prevent your decks from cracking, peeling, and splitting. Dennis, I don't know if you know it. I had Deck Tech do my head.
It's worked out well.
Yeah, it's worked out well. It's prevented cracking and splitting.
Did you know Dick Van Dyke worked for that chimney company?
You know what? He could. Remember that dance?
I know.
Call Deck Tech today for a free no-hassle estimate at 800-956-DECK. I have had my deck done several times by Deck Tech through the years. It's always great work. It's done on time. And you can actually get an estimate without even being home. 1-800-956-DECK, 800-956-3325. Mention Herbie talking about it. They'll take 10% off the price and ask about the new 0% financing options. Deck Tech, they've got the tech to restore your deck, 800-956 or restoreyourdeck.com. And we're back after this. Oh, it's traffic. Sorry, Mary. I'm falling asleep here.
That's okay.
And I don't mean literally.
He shouldn't be, not all today.
Right. Dennis DeYoung is here, and we always talk about doing this. We never do it enough, where Dennis comes in and hangs out, and Suzanne comes in and hangs out, and it's very nice of them to get up at a ridiculous hour and do this. Don't forget, you go to DennisDeYoung.com, and there is a show in Merrillville that you need to be at, Saturday, May 7th. Some tickets available. I don't think a lot, so you better get on it. Go to DennisDeYoung.com, follow the link. I think we've got a couple more pair we can give away. So, again, that number is 312-981-7200, and Dennis's middle name is Alshon. Anybody that knows that, you can call 312-981-7200 and repeat it, and we'll get a couple more names for our winner's list. What are you going to sing for us, sir?
Since we've talked about it a bunch, this is the first song I ever wrote by myself and sang on a record, and once again, dumpster with luck. I don't know how that happens. I've tried many times to remember how it happened, but it did.
Dennis DeYoung.
So one disclaimer for all piano players and musicians.
Yes.
No sustain pedal, so you're going to hear me hack my way through this.
You're
ladies
be
and
just
gentlemen,
fine.
Please welcome to hear this guy. When you're with me, I'm smiling. Give me all your love. Your hands build me up when I'm sinking. Just touch me and my troubles all fade. From the moment I saw you standing, oh, 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 la, la, you gave all
shine through and grown. You're my lady of the morning. Love shines in your eyes, sparkling, clear and lovely.
Good is that? How good is that? Let me tell you something. Playing on the carnival, playing on the carnival calliope.
Vocal down in my headset. I think I just blew my tympanic membrane.
fantastic.
I like the guy's voice, not that much.
More with Dennis DeYoung in a couple of minutes. Back with you news next, 720 WGN.
Well, speaking of skydiving, before we get to Hardwick, Dennis, this is what Andrea and her friends did yesterday. Went out to that indoor skydiving thing?
Yeah, it's called I Fly Chicago, and it's indoor skydiving. It was really more floating on air, and they have locations all across the Chicagoland area. The one in Chicago is the one we went to, the one in Lincoln Park, and it was an absolute blast.
Wow.
I went with Mary Vandeveld, Kristen Decker shot our video, and Stephanie Menendez, our assistant program director, were there as well.
Where's the video?
The video is online. You can see it at WGNradio.com. It's also on the Steve Cochran Show page. We have it on our Facebook and your Facebook as well, Steve. And a huge thanks to everybody out there. Dave, the manager, and James, our instructor. Huge thanks to everybody out there. So
yeah.
It was a great experience. Very cool. If you want to float on air at 80 to 100 miles an hour shooting up at you, it's your thing. It was
Mary,
cool.
You were not thrilled about doing this. Did you like it once
not,
you did?
I was scared to death.
And?
It wasn't bad at all. I loved it.
Was it borderline fun for you?
Borderline.
Yeah, okay. A little
say.
Bit scared?
See, I thought it was cool. I would have called it reverse skydiving. Because skydiving is when you jump out and you fall
you're
down.
You're actually going up.
This is actually, you're float. I call it floating on air because the air is coming from below, shooting you up into the air.
Dennis, you should have done that on stage with sticks.
I that place you're talking about, I did a similar thing yesterday. I stepped off a curb.
You know, excitement changes as you get a little older.
You could have sang Come Sail Away while you were up there.
And similarly, I think I pulled something, Steve.
Did you have a man spinning you around in circles, holding you by the foot and the wrist?
Yes.
Yeah.
See?
I got to tell you, with all your success, if you're going to pull something, you ought to have someone who does that for you.
I think so.
You know, you're a very successful guy. Chris Hardwick standing by? Okay, we're standing by for Chris Hardwick. Before we get to Chris, you want to catch up on a break? Are we good on time? Can I talk to Dennis? All right, let me talk to Dennis until you guys are ready with Chris Hardwick. All right, so you're going to Merrillville. This is going to be a show that includes Best of Sticks. What else are you going to be playing?
I'm going to do the whole Thriller album.
Well,
without a glove. Without a glove.
Time.
No glove. No.
It
no.
is about time.
Here it is. It's going to be, kids, come and see this. I have the band. You go to my Facebook page, you can just see some of the videos or my website, and you can check it out and see what you're going to see. But I put together this Cracker Jack band of guys from all over the country to replicate the sound and the spirit of the band I was in for so many years, Styx. And we do a greatest hit show, Lady, Babe, Best of Times, Come Sail Away, Don't Let It End, Mr. Roboto, Show Me the Way, Renegade, Blue Collar Man, Too Much Time, but who's counting?
Right,
yeah,
right,
all
right.
of them.
I told Dennis a long time ago, one of the things I really respect out of him is because of all the success, not just as a player, but as a writer, his mailbox makes money. Every
That's
time
true.
He goes out to the mailbox, he just looks in and goes, "Well, look, there's more money in there. Isn't that nice?"
Never had any idea. And here's the quick story about that. When we signed a bunch of contracts, initially, I signed all these contracts, recording contracts. And so we never made a dime. Four albums, not a penny. Lady Becomes a Hit by Accident in 1974, going in 75. One day, I'm poor. I lost all my money.
Okay.
I was a teacher, and I lost all my money that I had saved because Rockstar, oh, big deal, like you had any money. So there's something comes in the mail. It's a check for $10,000 in 1974. $10,000, that might have been, it could have been $1 million.
Sure.
And I said, ASCAP, what's ASCAP?
Right, right. You didn't even know you're going to get paid for the songs.
No, they're going to pay me for when Steve plays my songs on the radio.
How great is that?
Listen, it's a miracle. Teach your kids to be songwriters.
Yes. Well, I've always said if your kid is a little shaky in homework, left-handed middle relief or rock and roll star, those are both good career paths.
Got to do it.
Yeah. More Dennis coming up. What's your status with Hardwick? We're going to get him? We're not going to get him? Okay, Chris Hardwick, listen, I want to at least give him the plug because we had a technical issue. Chris Hardwick, At Midnight with Chris Hardwick on Comedy Central. Very funny comedy game show.
and a million other things. This is one of these guys that's absolutely maximized social media. And that goes through discussion about the music business now. Is it tougher than ever to get started as a musician because there's no traditional distributor line of things like there used to be? I mean, the record companies have always stolen money. But at least you had a path. You'd get a contract. The label would represent you, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how kids do it now in music.
I lived at the greatest time in the history of mankind to be a musician. Never before and never after will as many musicians as my peers had the opportunities to have these long, fruitful careers. I feel really bad for young musicians because it's become the mantra that music should be free. And I think I agree with that, along with radial tires, bananas, and mortgage payments.
Those things? All of those. In that order, I hope you people are taking notes. Dennis DeYoung, more than just a pretty face. A real genius. Stand by. We're going to talk a little Illinois travel this hour as well. And this being National Autism Month, never a better day for massage envy to come by later as my back went out this morning about 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. So all of that coming up in a few more minutes with Dennis before he leaves me and pretends he doesn't know my number. But let's take a break first on 720 WGN. And back in the Showcase Studio, the Allstate Showcase Studio, show number 638, and the texts continue to flood in for our friend Dennis DeYoung, and we'll talk more with Dennis in a second. Remind you again, in Merrillville, he hates when I plug his shows, but in Merrillville, Dennis DeYoung will be next Saturday night doing a concert with the best of Styx and the best of Dennis DeYoung, and I hope you get there. I really do. If you've never had a chance to see him live, he's phenomenal.
One of the best shows I have ever seen, and I'd say that whether he was sitting here or not.
We're doing a full-blown show today, as we always do, and I'm happy to see you in studio Illinois State Travel Director Corey Job. Corey, how you doing?
Steve, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for wearing your radio clothes.
Absolutely.
Nice of you to dress up.
I wanted to make
sure
my tie was straightened
up. We actually do have cameras here in studio, okay, so people can't see you, so your mom will be pleased, I'm sure.
I made sure to shave this morning.
And that's a good thing, too. I didn't. So, Corey, nice to have you in studio. Look, the state is underrated as a travel destination, I think. I'm sure you agree.
I completely agree.
So the first week of May is National Travel and Tourism Month, and the Illinois Office of Tourism wants to encourage a little more, such as economic benefits, but sell it. What else?
Well, you know, we're out partnering with the U.S. Travel Association. You know, Steve, the Americans leave. This is crazy, this number. 169 million vacation days on the table each year. Just think about that in terms of, you know, I leave a lot of vacation days on the table, and here I'm encouraging people to take their vacations.
People
and
don't
to
take
Illinois.
Their vacations.
Do not take their vacations. Just think about the health benefits, but I'm thinking about it in terms of the economy.
Well, yeah, it's a big deal for the economy. Big Dennis, deal. Did you and Suzanne do like a regular family vacation? Did you take time off the road even when you guys were touring all the time?
The funny thing about vacations for me is a vacation for me being on the road all the time was staying in my house and, you know.
Oh, that's a good point. Sure, if you're on the road all the time, you have to stay
in front of the TV. But I just wonder, are the dogs still jumping and starving?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, there's something to see right there.
So there you go. Put it on the list. It's on your must-see list.
Must see.
How big an economic deal is it for the state when it comes to tourists coming here?
Well, just this last year, we welcomed about 109 million visitors around the state. That was $36 billion impact to the state. And then hotel motel tax collections topped nearly $265 million.
Right. And this is money we get to keep, kids.
This is money we get to keep that visitors are bringing into our state.
We're not having to collect it. We're not having to go through whether or not Madigan's wrong or Rauner's wrong. We're just doing it.
We're just doing it. Like we like to say, people put their heads in the beds, and that collects a lot of revenue for the state of Illinois.
Have you/we suffered with the negative national image of state politics? Do people go, I don't want to travel to Illinois anymore? Do we need to get the word out socially? What do we need to do?
Well, you know, Illinois is still a top destination. I mean, Chicago just announced numbers earlier this week, 52 million, another record-breaking year. We're right on par with the national average. 2.2% increase in visitors. We'll announce full numbers in July with our international guests.
Okay.
I think all the national attention we get on the late night talk shows is, in my opinion, free media for us. So
I like
Illinois
your attitude.
Is always in top of mind one way or the other.
Oh, I like your attitude.
And it always helps, too, that there are free – check the website, too. There's free days at the museum.
Right.
There's all kinds of free things that the city offers, including the NFL Draft this weekend has a whole fun fest area for kids.
NFL Draft, and if you're a foodie, the James Beard Awards is here this weekend. Somebody must like us. The NFL Draft, second year out of New York. James Beard Awards, having it 3 years here. In the
well, city, and I would also argue one of the great places to go, and I know it's a big tourist driver. driver is the Lincoln Museum.
Right.
Lincoln Museum downstate's phenomenal.
ALPLM just celebrated its 10th anniversary in Springfield. It's the most visited presidential library museum in the country. And I think once the Obama Presidential Library Museum opens here in the city, we'll have both of the top two experiences between presidential library museums. So it's pretty exciting. A lot of free activities here in the state. Great partners, great stakeholders here in the city and around the state. And we're just encouraging everyone to visit us this summer. A lot of unique, authentic experiences to see and do.
Got a website you want to plug?
Got a website, www.enjoyillinois.com.
And Dave, your favorite place to go is where?
Any of the ballparks.
Right.
Any of the ballparks.
Because you're such a one-track mind.
I'm sorry.
All
you asked
sports
me to
you.
It's an honest answer. I mean, where does, say, Wrigley Field rank among destinations?
Well, you know, it's always a battle between my office here in Chicago. We've got some Sox fans. I'm a diehard Cub fan. But Wrigley Field is one of the top tourism attractions for us to promote. You know, Navy Pier is the top tourism attraction in the Midwest. But Wrigley Field and what's already been happening there, I can't wait till the complete renovation is finished, because it's only going to enhance the experience. And as we know, because of WGN, all the Cub fans all across the country, and it is a tourism attraction for us, and we promote it quite heavily.
And the money, again, is coming in for people to go, well, where's all the money go? Well, the money goes to the businesses. The money comes and goes to the businesses, and then the taxes that the businesses pay can help the state.
Well,
so there's your win-win.
Absolutely. When we talk about economic development, we added 8,000 new jobs over
the last
few years. And what other business sector in the state's creating those type of jobs? It's the tourism and hospitality industry in the state.
Dennis, is there, as a lifer, a place in Illinois you've never been that Corey could hook you up with? He'll drive you. He'll take you there.
I'll personally take you.
I don't get to see my bathroom that much in my house.
Well, I can't help you there.
Well, you could.
You're the travel director.
I've traveled everywhere in this country. I've been in every city like about 25 times at least. There is no more beautiful lakefront than the city of Chicago, and all the little boats are out there, and when it's like May and June, and all the people are congregating. Beautiful.
That's the word we want to get out. I mean, we love Illinois because we love Illinois. We love Chicago for the obvious reasons as well. So I want you to get on your social media. I want you to go to the website. I want you to call your friends and go, you come see me this summer.
Right?
You come to Illinois. And by the way, you're not staying at the house. Get a hotel.
Get a hotel we benefit. You know, one of my first conferences I went to, in Portland, there was a breakout session about coastal workshop, and I attended. And they said, "Why is somebody from Illinois attending this workshop?" I said, "Have you not seen our beaches and our lakefront?" And they looked at me like I was crazy. And then I began to show them pictures, and they were shocked by what we had here to offer. And it's 20 plus miles, and it's like you said, on any summer day, there's thousands of people enjoying our free public access beaches and walking and picnicking. It's amazing.
Portland's nice. I've seen it, but, not like Chicago.
Chicago's the best.
No, I'm afraid not.
You know what, Chicago, we're friendly.
You know, and I was standing on the beach with Sarah Palin, and we could see Michigan from her tall. So that's the kind of vision.
Although San Diego isn't bad. Of all the other ones, that thing, that right around the thing, that's nice, but Chicago is still the best.
Yeah, there's a law in San Diego. It has to be 73 and sunny every day, so that's positive. Corey, great to see you. Website again is?
www.enjoyillinois.com.
Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you.
More with Dennis in just a moment. Clogged toilets? What an odd transition. More with Dennis. Clogged toilets, leaky water heaters, sewer backup? Any of that get your attention? Well, listen to this. After getting many requests from frustrated customers seeking a professional, trustworthy plumbing service, PermaSeal took action. They hired their own plumbers. They put plumbers to work with a superior customer experience, and they're excited to do the same with all things plumbing. Call 800-421-SEAL today to schedule your appointment. From water heaters and sump pumps to sewer line repairs and clogged sinks, they do it all with the quality and professionalism you've come to trust from PermaSeal. If you have any plumbing needs, and really, who doesn't, you know who to call. It's PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL, 800-421-SEAL. PermaSeal.net has earned the Better Business Bureau's 2016 Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics. They are known best for being better. It's PermaSeal. It's my friend Dennis DeYoung here. I love getting Dennis to tell me all his favorite stories from the old days. Most of them he's forgotten. He goes, who cares? Everybody cares. Everybody loves these stories.
Welcome to the House of Clogged Toilets.
I like Suzanne's stories.
Yeah, they're better.
We're hearing all the behind-the-scenes stuff. You forget the flowers.
I told you.
I
told you one of my favorite songs is Desert Moon. What's it about?
4 minutes and...
No, not the length.
Oh.
What's the song about?
I was up to write a song for Dune. This is, I'm not doing a joke.
Dune the movie.
Dune the movie with Sting. That's when he stole my wallet.
Okay, that makes
sense. They wanted a song, so I started singing. I started thinking about deserts. You know, I started reading the Frank, what's his name, Herbert? I forget. He wrote the books. I got to page 150. He said, not for me.
Yeah, it's so, a little out there.
Yeah, my wife read them all, but that's not my thing. So I thought, okay, moons, right? And there's, I got all these moons, and it's a desert. And then there's, like, I think there are worms or something flying around there.
So is this a train to desert moon? The inspiration was the movie Dune.
I didn't get... You know, I didn't get the job, so I was already in the desert thing, and so I started thinking, what could Desert Moon mean? And I wrote Desert Moon, which is, has nothing to do
with... But you turned it into a love song. You turned it into this beautiful love song.
It's really, you know, it's a song about lost innocence. You know, you want to go back to this place, whatever it's called. In this particular song, it's Desert Moon. It's a place that where we want to return, which is really what my life is based on now. All the people that come to see me, for the most part, are trying to recapture a memory from a particular time in their life that they really believe things were easier and simpler and more innocent. And Desert Moon is this guy who wants to get back to this place. But, you know, it's like you can't go home again thing.
Well, of being the writer that you are,
yeah.
of all the hits,
mm-hmm.
which one are you most proud of? And, you know, the personal stuff aside, I know how much of stuff means that you wrote for Suzanne and all of that. And there's family things. But which song lyrically are you most proud of?
Other than Hey Jude?
Yeah, I know that one was a big favorite, but I don't think that's on your... It's not in your catalog. That's what the lawyers are for.
Yeah, listen, people love Come Sail Away. How do I deny them?
Yeah.
Every night when I play it, wherever I am, people lock arms and they sing that song because the feelings I were having at the time, which is the song is about a yearning to get once again to another place,
right?
Whether it's alien or angels, where you want to escape because you believe there'll be greater opportunity, even though your life has not worked out the way you thought it would, and so you're going to carry on.
But,
and what I was just writing about how I felt because we hadn't broken through yet,
right?
As a bona fide superstar band,
right?
And it was just my personal feelings, but other people took that to believe it was about them.
But don't you think it's cool that what you loved as a kid and what became your life's work, it doesn't matter what it means to you. It matters what it means to them, right?
Yeah. Sometimes when you hear a composer explain what the song means to them, the creator, it can ruin it for people. Because I know Dylan, he refuses to explain his songs because he thinks that, you know, I'm not quite that famous, so I'm out there saying, hey, guess what this is about? So, you know, but... It can mean anything you want, you know, and when they're successful, a lot of people personalize what you're saying and think it's really about them. And that's the great thing about music. It's just the most wonderful thing to be involved in. For me personally, as a kid who, you know, started playing accordion at 7 years old, the things that, you know, I'm a kid with an accordion in a dream. It's amazing what happened to me.
Right.
That's basically it.
The one thing that science always tells you is a sense of smell triggers memories. I say music. Music triggers memories completely.
You got it. You can hear a song and actually smell, maybe it's the grass or something, a particular time in your life. It's just an amazing
thing. Special relationships and different things.
Absolutely.
You're great with fans. I see you all the time with fans when people come up. You're always funny with them. You're always interested in seeing them. You're at a point in your life now where the moms and dads and some grandparents, too, bring their grandkids to the show. That's pretty special.
Yeah, I fake all that stuff. Yeah, I just pretend.
But you will sign autographs for everyone.
He fakes that, too, apparently.
Yeah, I fake that.
No.
I use somebody else's signature.
You do not.
No. Here's what it is. Without them, there's no me. I'm in my basement playing for myself. I've always known that growing up on the South Side, that without those people, there is no me.
But was that your mom or your dad or both of them? I mean, somebody's got to raise your right to understand that even after you make it, you owe the people that are paying for the tickets and buying the records.
Working class people. My dad was a printer, worked at American Tag. My mother was a homemaker most of the time. But they instilled that hard work ethic. And, you know, giving people the benefit of the doubt and treating them nicely until they act stupid, then you punch them.
Right. So, right. But that lawsuit was cleared.
I'm free to roam around the country.
You got to marry the right woman who can tell you when you're an idiot.
Listen, how lucky people come up to me. I'm going to be 70. They come up to me all the time and say how much they love what I do. How did that happen?
Right.
I mean, it's just a miracle.
It's pretty sweet.
It is.
Dennis is going to sing 14 more songs before 10. No, he's not. No, we put him through enough pain. But I have one more thing for you before you go. So stick around 1 second if you don't mind. And thank you for hanging out as always.
Sure.
Ah, there you go. Am I remembering the video right? Weren't you like on a train?
I was a failed musician coming home, trying to find himself and his past in his little Midwestern town. Meets up with his brother and his mom and all his friends. And
sweet story.
Yeah, they used to call it the Little Chill when they played it on MTV because it was like that reunion kind of a thing.
A brilliant
video conceived by a guy named Smith.
We were talking about the Eagles off the air a second ago, and the Eagles. I remember Don Henley complaining about the 80s. He goes, look, I made a lot of money. It was good, but I hated the 80s because I'm not an actor. You are a good actor. Did you like that whole video phase where you had to do the videos?
I agree Don Henley's not an actor. He's a great singer. I think, you know, if I hadn't grown up in the South Side of City of Chicago, I might have tried to have been an actor. So I loved all that stuff. And, you know, that's why I ended up doing Pontius Pilate.
Sure.
Because somebody offered me the job. But, yeah, I thought it was a very creative period. Sometimes it could go overboard. But I think Desert Moon, the guy who did the video, he made a – listen, I love the song Desert Moon. I think the video is better. That's how good that video is.
The video is great.
It's just wonderful. I watch it and I go, I'm glad I was involved in that.
When you, and I know you don't spend much time doing this, but when you do sit around and think about the old days, is there a favorite phase of time? Like, you know, was it the late 70s when you guys were starting to happen? Early 80s? You know, now? What do you like?
I don't think I could ever replace what happened during the Paradise Theater tour because at that point it was the very biggest attended indoor concert tour. Obviously, it's been broken subsequently, but just the perfect melding for me of the right amount of theatrics with the rock show.
Yeah, and I make the argument that everything that came after, where all these guys were influenced, like U2 is heralded, and I love U2, but U2 is heralded as this great theatrical production band that did everything. I maintain that Bono and his guys are sitting around watching you.
I met Bono once, and he said, you know something? I wanted to be Mr. Roboto. No, he never said that. He did not say that. I don't want any of your
don't
I don't
quote
want you
that.
These
it's
lawyers.
A Weisenheimer
no.
thing.
No, he didn't. Listen.
But you see people influenced by what you guys did and what you did.
Listen, I don't even know about that. You're my buddy, and I love you for that. But all I can say is when we were referred to as a theatrical band, and I see what the kids today do in terms of, you know, Pink is upside down on a rope, for God's sake, singing. And they do amazing things theatrically. The sets, the LED screens behind, it makes us, you know,
flying around the crowd.
Yeah, we look like a high school production when I look back on it.
But that's what I'm saying. You guys were breaking the rules back then, and you were doing stuff. You were conceiving and doing stuff on stage that wasn't being done by other people.
Well, the cardinal thing, the thing that we did that nobody did was we tried to act on stage. Not a good idea, but we tried to, you know, to be characters.
Well, you gave people a show.
They loved it. Listen, everybody loved that show that saw it. But, you know, we were, that was my baby, and I was pushing for it. And you know, I think it's really good to look back on it and see it and think it was wonderful because it was.
I got to tell you, too, if people, you know, and now because people's expectations are different, but when you pay a ticket and you go see a show, God bless everybody who can stand around with a guitar and play for 2 hours, but I don't care who you are. If you're standing around and playing for 2 hours, somebody's going to go, you want to leave early and beat the traffic? Give them a show. You always got that.
Yeah, I think it's valuable to people because, you know, they have the record. Or the CD.
Right.
Or the download, whatever they're doing these days, these kids. But to come there and see the actual performer doing it live, and you know, anything can go wrong. Anything, you know, just the other night, I was going to go in to Show Me the Way. We hadn't played it in 2 months. And then somebody said, well, you know, they have a lot of service people here, and they like that song because of Desert Storm.
Sure.
So I set it up. We'd like to play this beautifully. I'd like to play this song for all the people who have friends or family serving in the military. Went and I froze. I started, I play it musically on the keyboards. I couldn't remember it.
And then, wait a minute, I'm getting info. And I just couldn't do it.
Come on, you went up. You never go up on lyrics or something.
No, not lyrics. I couldn't play.
The music. You forgot the music.
Boom, bum, bum, da-dee-dee-da-da. I looked at my keyboards and my hands, and I thought, well, those are someone else's hands.
Has that ever happened before?
Never, where I couldn't physically think
of
what the opening notes were.
And I bet you kicked your butt all night about it.
So then I just turned to Jimmy, who had an acoustic guitar, because he played it. I says, Jimmy, come over here. And we did Don't Let It End Acoustically, which we hadn't planned on doing.
Right.
And it worked out. But what I'm saying, that's what live entertainment is.
Right.
You go and see something that should never happen
before. Right, right, right.
Not that you want to see a schlub forget the song, but...
Listen, I hate to break it to you. You're still a human being, even with that voice.
Yeah, thanks.
948. Hey, I've got to get a plug in for our friends raising money for National Autism Month and Autism Research, and we'll do that in a second, in a couple more minutes with Dennis before. Bill and Wendy come in at 10 on 720 WGN. Never wanna go astray. You know what? You still got it. You still got it. You still got it. You sing your own songs in the car?
No, never.
Because the greatest thing in the world to me would be you not see me. I pull up in a light next to your car, and you're singing your song at the top of your lungs.
Yeah, I don't.
You'd never hear the end of it.
Yeah. Suzanne, do I ever do that? No.
She went out.
Oh, wait a minute.
A little.
If I'm like I have a tour coming up and I have new songs.
Well, you're working on them then.
I mean, and then I play the song and I sing along with it.
Sure.
So I don't come up on the song.
That's fine. I like the story that you don't do it. I'm going to catch you. I'm going to bust you. I'm going to bust you.
But just edit that other part out. Is this live?
As far as you know. We're wrapping up April, National Autism Awareness Month. You know how proud I am of my daughter, Amy,
yes,
and the work that she does with kids with autism. And by the way, she's got her master's.
I was going to say, she finished the thesis. Yeah. Everything's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations.
She does this thing called behavioral analysis. It's an autism study that you go in one-on-one with these kids and you maximize their lives. You know, you give them the tools that they need to try to bring those skills out.
Hey, you did something right, partner.
Yeah, she's okay.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, she's all right. So's Ross, too, by the way.
No, Ross is a good guy. Does he still want to be on Broadway?
No, he's not acting anymore.
Oh,
he's in business.
What happened?
I don't know. He wasn't listening to me. Okay. No, he's doing great. We're blessed. We're blessed. Listen, we got great lives. At any rate, I want to thank the people at Massage Envy, and specifically the Algonquin owner, Michael Weiss, who's standing by, who can speak to this. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Be nice to have you guys actually in studio. My back went out this morning, and, you know, I could use a massage.
We can do that. We can arrange for that.
Is that the business? That's pretty much what the business is.
All right,
so how are you raising money for National Autism Awareness Month?
So this Sunday, we are going to be doing Relax for Autism. All 100% of the proceeds from massage or facials done on Sunday will be donated to the Northern Illinois Center for Autism. It's an organization that helps families with autistic kids to get out into out of their houses, get out into society and into the public and get comfortable with that. We have Samuel, who has autism, who is working for us.
Oh, excellent.
Every week he comes in and does our filing and earns a paycheck, and I think it's something that everybody should try to do. These are people who have great potential, and you know, anything we can do to help them reach that potential, I think is worthwhile.
Right. Maximize your life, just like the rest of us. You just want an opportunity to do that. So for people that want information on Sunday, what do they do?
I can call us at 847-658-1155, or you can go to the Northern Illinois Center for Autism website, which is www.nicautism.org.
I appreciate that very much, and I appreciate the work you guys are doing, and for all you autistic families out there, families who have kids with autism, the moms and dads. Can't imagine what it's like to do the thing you do every day, and you know, you love your kids just as hard as everybody else does, so God bless you for what you're doing. Dennis DeYoung is here. He's going to be in Merrillville, Indiana next Saturday night. You got a full summer schedule?
Yeah, I do. I'm playing my 50 shows this year, so, you know, come and see me, you know.
You ever thought about getting real work, or?
Man, listen, I'm lucky. We said it.
Yeah, blessed.
Well, okay. Blessed. I'll go with that.
Where'd you find the players that you work with now, the guys in the band?
At the YMCA, on the handball court.
Who knew they had instruments?
I didn't notice them at first. I handpicked them. They're from Nashville. One from Nashville. One from L.A.
But was that a whole audition process? Did you like look over all the country to find the right people, or they pitch you, or how does that work?
Well, the fella who does Tommy Shaw songs, who is brilliant, August Zadra, my son Matt, found him on YouTube. He called me at 12:30 at night about 6 years ago, and he said, "Look at this guy." And I went, "No." So yeah. I had him out. Great guy. He can just, I mean, it's just go to the Facebook page or to the website.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
can see it. It's right there. Yeah. And then, you know, I found the bass player in Nashville, Tennessee, and Jimmy Leahy, the guitar player. He'd been in the band for 6 years. And, of course, John Blasucci, who's local, he's been with me the longest. And I just got a new drummer from Florida. He's a fantastic kid, Mike Morales.
Are you hard to work for?
You have to ask them. I hope I'm not. I mean, really. And if they should say something like that, I'll fire them.
Who did you learn most from through the years? Who did you learn more from than anybody else? I mean, I know you're self-taught, but who taught you more about music or maybe the music business than anybody?
The music business I learned, you know, by having scars, as everyone does.
And
in
make
business.
Mistakes.
Yeah, you have to make mistakes before you understand how everything works. But I think, you know, my parents and particularly my dad, they set a good standard for me. And
right.
you know, my dad was a kind man, and he was the kind of guy who would give people the benefit of the doubt. So I tried to do that. Sometimes I can be. As life has gone on, I find myself sometimes being what I call a cynical optimist. So that's how I kind of view myself, where I understand that...
You hope for the best, but you understand it may not go that way.
Exactly. At all times, I'm aware of that. But, you know, I push ahead and I carry on, as the song says, because hoping for the best.
Before I let you go, yeah. I think about... My dad was 40 when I was born, and our dads were about the same age. When you want to be in a band... And your dad comes from an era where you go to work, you earn a living, you support your family, all that.
Yeah.
Was your dad or your mom and dad, were they, how long did it take them before they got used to the idea that you were going to play in a band and make money doing that?
The funny thing is, you know, my sister, who's 4 years younger than me, Darcy, a lot of the attention went to me from my mom.
Okay.
She wanted me to play accordion. Because if you're Italian, it's the law. So so what it turns out is they kind of pushed me that way. She did. And then when I wanted to quit my job as a school teacher and become a full-time musician, they were like aghast. They couldn't believe it that I was going to take that risk. But after the success, my dad would walk around in the Kmart.
And tell other people this is my kid?
With Sticks tour jacket on. And say, "Hey, excuse me, do you know Dennis DeYoung? Yeah, he's my son. He's my son."
I love that.
To the day he died, he said, "I'm so glad you didn't listen to me."
Well, that's sweet, man.
Yeah, I thought,
make you feel great.
That's a good story.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Listen, we've been friends forever. I love you. And, yeah. and you and Suzanne are phenomenal.
Ditto.
We're going to not talk about this. We're just going to do it more often.
I'm ready.
And I always told Dennis he ought to be doing radio anyway because he's funny, he's fast, and he's still pretty.
Amen. Amen.
He is.
May 7th in Merrillville. Get your tickets, DennisDeYoung.com, and you'll have a great night. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Steve.
Couple of minutes before 10.